right, welcome everybody. It is Sunday, October 22nd, 2017, and we are in our series, Living in the Presence of a Holy God. The message today is titled, God's Keeping, G-O-D apostrophe S, Keeping, K-E-E-P-I-N-G. Okay, just to be clear. All right. This is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, God, that yours is a throne of grace to us. We thank you, God, that we can come boldly to that throne and ask for favor and mercy, and we thank you, Lord, for your provision. And today, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit come to teach us from your word and to encourage us as to the keeping power of God. You preserve us, and that enables us to persevere. And so, God, we thank you for that. We are kept by the power of God. And, Lord, we pray that you will help us, because this relates to our living in your presence as you are a holy God. And we bless you today. We thank you today. We praise you today. And it is our desire to glorify you in what we say and do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 and 10.
Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more.
Okay, so Paul wrote the letter to the Thessalonians, and he wanted believers to grow, to abound, to increase more and more. And he reminded some, as in the book of Galatians, or the letter to the Galatians, that the reason many were not living as true believers should live was that they were under the power of the flesh, and they were not walking in the Holy Spirit. They were not living in the Holy Spirit. Their will and energy and effort, all of that, you know, their determination, their this big effort and their energy, was all of that was coming apart from the Spirit of God. It was just soulish. It was just coming out of the natural man. So God wants us to be living vessels in whom the power of the Holy Spirit is manifested all the time. And he is the enabler. What is impossible with man is possible with God. All right. So in the book of Galatians, Paul says we received the Holy Spirit and began in the Spirit, but many tried to perfect in the flesh what had begun in the Spirit. I personally call this trying to live the victorious Christian life, and I call it the victorious Christian life routine. Cannot do it. The reason people like it is they become true believers and they're all gung-ho, right? And some people say, oh, look at this person, because they're so gifted and they're so talented and they're so this and they're so that. And then I've always thought, and the Holy Spirit looks at them, you know, yeah, and they're so full of themselves and pride and sinful habit patterns and whatever, and they got all this stuff, the sins of the heart and all this, all kinds of stuff that He has a lot of work to do. You know, it's going to be a lot of work. Okay.
And he can brag that no one's better at it than him.
That's right. Right. So we try to do that. We try to, what began in the Holy Spirit, we try to perfect in the flesh, or apart from the Holy Spirit, out of our own gumption, you know, and whatever, and our own determination. Because we're really gung-ho and we want to get out there, you know, and be real Christians. Okay. And not only that, they begin to seek their religion in external observances so that they may boast in your flesh. That's from Galatians. Let's read it. Galatians 6, verse 13.
For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh.
Okay, so they make a big deal out of certain rites, R-I-T-E-S, and you have to do this and whatever, and external observances. All right, so you started out, you knew, you were convicted by the Holy Spirit, and you were convinced you were a sinner, you couldn't save yourself, you needed your sins forgiven, only God can forgive sins, and you're at the point, you're convinced that what God says in His Word is true, and who's going to deliver you from the condition that you're in? And you become converted. But then after that, you want to live like a true believer, and somebody nicely hands you, as a new disciple following Jesus Christ, a list. This nice list. I know this from experience. And it's handy. It is, you know, because you don't know. You know, what does the Christian life look like? You don't know exactly. You know, you got an idea.
A list from Exodus?
No, well, no, it's like, it's a list, it's part of follow-up, you know, that you're going to read the Word of God, you're going to pray, you need fellowship with other believers, you want to go out and tell other people your testimony, witness, in other words. You want to learn the gospel so you can share it with somebody else, and you know, you have an enemy. The devil is your enemy. He wasn't bothering you before, but now you're going to be more aware of he's bothering you because he's upset, and then you're also handled, and that's all that is true on follow up, but then it'll get down more to specific. Now, when Jim and I became real Christians, we got this list, and it was I'm glad now because Sunday was really set apart to the Lord. I mean, really. So you didn't fix your food on Sunday, you didn't cook, you fixed it on Saturday, and you had sandwiches, or it was all prepared. You just brought it out and you ate it. You didn't do the laundry on Sunday. You didn't do other work on Sunday. Sunday was given over to the reading and studying of the Word, to prayer, and to service at the church, right? So, you teach Sunday school, you do something. You go to church every Sunday. You tithe. You know, you do these things. Are they wrong? No, but if you're doing them out of your own, if you're doing it, what, out of your own self, and sometimes there's a little selfishness in there while you're doing it because you want everybody to think you're a good Christian. You know what I mean? You have this desire to be, okay, I want to be a real Christian, you know, what does that look like? And but then it might, we were given a list by one group, and it was, and then it became impossible because for me. Because you had to have your, quote, quiet time, unquote. Your quiet time, they called it. Or devotions. Like at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, if you were really following the Lord. Okay, well, we had little kids, and there was no time in our house, unless you got up at 4 in the morning, to have any quiet time with the Lord, because you had to get up, you had to take care of kids and animals and do all this stuff, and whether go to school or whatever was going on.
There was no quiet.
There was no quiet. There was nothing quiet about it. And it wasn't your best, for me, it was not my best time of day. It wasn't the best time of day. And I finally realized you give God the best time of your day. When you're alert, you're awake. Oh, it's quiet. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now's the time. But you don't crowd your day out so that you crowd God out. Stephen used to have a thing on his mirror, don't ignore God. Because in school, you know, it's easy to do with all that you got. Anything can crowd out God, because, you know, until he says, until the fatherly displeasure comes along. Okay, but it's the idea of all of that. This is, living in the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit is going to prompt you. Let's see. Well, in our lives, it was really like compelling us, not driving us like the devil does, but it was a compelling. I can't explain it. To be in the Word of God, and to, because, you know, to follow the Lord. But it has, and for a while, I know. We were in that where a lot of it was us, soulish, we would call it, coming out of our own soul, mind, will, and emotions, and not really the Holy Spirit. And in that process, you can be caught, that's Romans 7, the struggle, you can be caught in that. But over time, if you persist, and so that's why I'm not going to say that having the list is not totally bad, but just understand, don't confuse all of that regimen or the victorious Christian life routine for what Paul's talking about, walking in the Holy Spirit. But you go through this time, and all the Bible study and the prayer and all of that, it's good, because after a while, if you keep reading and you keep praying and you keep honoring the Lord as you whatever you know to do. Some commands in the scripture are very plain on their face, and God will start revealing himself, and you'll start noticing or seeing more. He's going to show you, he'll reveal the truth to you, that Jesus Christ is the truth, the Holy Spirit is truth. And God the Father is the one true and living God. All these things will come. As you're faithful to do that which is least, you'll become faithful in the more, which is walking in the Spirit. And for a long time, you're like, some of your life is walking in the Spirit, and a lot of your life is coming out of your soul. And then after a while, it's kind of even 50-50, you know, the days. But then after a while, it takes a turn, and you're more and more in the Holy Spirit and less things coming out of your soul. The soul realm, it's called. Christians have a language. It takes a while to pick up the language, but after a while, it's like learning any new language. And I will say, Christians have their own language. I realized right off, oh, you don't call it a party. We always called it a party. You have fellowship. But it's still people getting together and food, and but you call it fellowship, and I always called it a party. See what I mean? They have different language for it. And it is a little different, because true fellowship is centered around Jesus Christ, is at the center.
And not alcohol.
And not alcohol. Yeah. Okay. So our human nature and human will and human effort, this is the natural man, our human nature, human will, human effort can be very active in the exercise of religion, even as we seek relationship with the Holy God. We get out there in our own strength to try to serve God and do godly things, the things that look godly to us. And they probably are godly things to do. Okay. We may be very diligent. Oh, and here's another one besides praying, fasting, going to Bible study and worship. Do all these right things. But it's coming out of the human will. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1.
And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ.
Okay. So he's just like the natural man, you know, can't even talk to you as somebody spiritual at this point. Because he was really going after the Corinthians there, you know, to make corrections. They needed correction, and that's what apostles do. They bring correction and order. Okay, in addition to trying to perfect ourselves in the flesh, what was begun in the spirit, we end up lacking in the fruit of the spirit. The Galatians were striving to be justified by the works of the law and were out there quarreling and in danger of devouring one another. There was this big-time lack of love and lots of envy, jealousy, bitterness, strife, and all of that. Okay, because they were striving to be justified by the works of the law, meaning the law-keeping, the law, and it's specifically circumcision because that was an outward, like, mark or an outward sign and a seal of covenant for Jewish people. But Belver in Romans, as we're learning on Friday nights, the just shall live by faith, Paul refutes all of that because he talks about that it's by the promise and Abraham. Romans is about the just part of the sentence, the just shall live by faith. Galatians is about shall live, how they shall live. The just shall live by faith. How do you live? The focus is on living. The book of Hebrews is on the faith part because it's helping us. It was designed to help people to realize that in the new covenant in Christ's blood, he's the temple, we're the temple. Get it correct in the mind, and we got everything better in the new covenant. So why do you want? And Paul says in Galatians, "Who's bewitched you? What do you want? Why do you want to go backwards? The old is passing away. The old, a whole new thing came in with Jesus Christ. A completely new thing came in, a new and living way. Only the Holy Spirit gives life. Okay, so they're out there." But it's not just the Galatians. We can all fall back on the power of the flesh and walk in sinful flesh. Even doing some really nice things. All right, and then I walked into a church and I sat there. Everything about the service was truly wonderful. The music, the message, the people. But I sat there as the pastor spoke on, why seek ye the living among the dead? And I said to the Holy Spirit, yes, what am I doing here? There is no power here. Where was the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit responded, no, you are bringing the power. Later I learned that the pastor had been crying out to the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit. He just didn't know how to receive. He didn't know how to receive. I've never seen, he's truly a pastor. The pastor's heart, everything, very open. He didn't know how to receive. But that's what he wanted, the power of the Holy Spirit. He wanted that. So that's where the Lord sent me. No, you're bringing the power. And he walked with such an anointing of authority. I would keep telling him, you have such an anointing of authority on your life because you've got practically the whole Bible memorized. I can't tell you how well he knew the Word of God. And I said, that's your anointing. And when you start recognizing that, God is moving. He's going to back that up with his power. And then when he caught on, it was like, all right. But you just speak the word and the Holy Spirit will make it live. I mean, you know what I mean. It'll come out of your mouth and the Holy Spirit will bring life. It's living and active, the word of God. It's going to make it live, really live. Okay, well anyway. So churches and all of us need to get to the point of saying, as Andrew Murray has said, quote, we have grieved God's Spirit. We have tried to be Christian churches with as little as possible of God's Spirit. We have not sought to be churches filled with the Holy Spirit, unquote. We have forgotten, we have grieved, we have dishonored the Holy Spirit, and he has not been able to do his work. He withdraws, though he never abandons. Several times God has shown me this, that when God is the origin of something, when he is doing the thing, it cannot fail. When he's doing it, it cannot fail because God is faithful and he also will do it. You can't even make it fail. Like your business.
Oh.
You can't even make it fail.
True.
He will overrule in ruling. He will overcome our feeble efforts, our feeble faith, and our failures of speech, whatever it is, okay, when he's in it. What we need to do is to yield to the Holy Spirit. Let's read Ephesians 3, verse 16.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man.
All right, yield. I will tell you this little story as I pray for the sick, but years ago I was practicing because I needed people to practice on. Anyway, that's how I looked at it too, I was practicing. So this one fella who was from the family that we really liked, 11 generations, Dutch Reformed, very Christian, I mean, the Christian home, going back 11 years, and I can't guarantee that everybody in that family back 11 generations, that all were Christians, but I do know that the family we know, they were all Christians. Okay. And it was pretty, and it was an amazing family. So this fella a little bit older than Steve, had a heart condition, okay? And so he was very open, and I told him, okay, you know, I've been studying and reading, and I was looking at all the ways Jesus healed and, you know, just studying and all this stuff. I said, I'm going to just practice, okay? We're just practicing here. I've got to practice. So he was up for it. He liked adventure. So I'm praying for him. See, and remember, I had all this stuff I've been studying and learning and trying to, you know, remember things and all like that. So I'm praying and whatever. And all of a sudden, and it was all me, honestly. At that point, it was all me. How much Holy Spirit was in it at that point with me just being, you know, what was it, the will, the, you know, everything. Okay. And all of a sudden I hear, yield, yield. And of course, I'm thinking, you know, yeah, this guy needs to yield. This fella needs to yield. And the Holy Spirit said to me, no, you're in my way. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. And I remember that. Because it was true. See, and this is what I'm trying to talk about. We become Christians and we want to do, and in the very beginning, we don't know what living in the Holy Spirit looks like or feels like. We don't know what that experience actually is, and we don't know how much, you know, like it's like, are we just supposed to sit in a chair and everything just comes to us? No, we have our part in it. And a lot of times, even in things, we start out in the flesh. Like a lot of times in worship, you know, they play all of these loud songs and the fast-moving songs, mainly to wear people out, because you'll start out in the flesh and maybe end up in the Holy Spirit. But you don't know, you're not, it's foreign, it's different. Okay. And we must know that we are kept by the power of God. Through this whole process of like even in the renewing of the mind, it's the same process. Certain thinking and behavior and understanding is put off, and let's say we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn to walk in the Holy Spirit and live in the Holy Spirit, and it's, we're led by the Holy Spirit, and so since it's the Holy Spirit and his life and the way he does things, there's no law for that. What I mean is, it's lawful in the sense that it's the love of God, the Holy Spirit. He's doing the whole thing, and after a while, we will catch on. We will catch on in time. It might take quite a while, and I'm not talking a few weeks in our instant mashed potato society. But we will catch on. All right. Read 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
All right, we're talking today about God's keeping. That includes every part of our being, in spiritual things and in temporal things. God cares for us, and not just in trials or just in prosperity, but through it all, the days of our lives, one thing to understand is that the one person who goes through with you, with me, all of our lives, is the Holy Spirit or the Godhead. We're not always together. Even in a family, my husband and I were married 48 years. We did a lot of things together. A lot. And we were together a lot. And we had common interests in everything. We were both believers, which really helped. But I didn't live all of his experiences. I wasn't there. And I know that I always said, you know, not in a mean way, I mean, but it was true, in the great crises of life, my husband wasn't there at that moment. In the great crises of life, a lot of times Stephen was there. But somebody was there. And God was always there. See? The living God was always there. Always there. So that's, we need to be aware of that. This keeping requires power, the power of God. His grace can keep us from sin. His goodness can prevent us from falling. He is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. That's Jude 24 and 25. And one secret is to allow God to love us. Allow God to love us. Be a receiver, not a taker. Be a receiver. Now, this is not to just sit around and be lazy and go, oh, I receive. I don't know, says Buffy. You know, I just take. I never give. No, God is a giver. So if you start receiving the Holy Spirit, one way we'll all know is that the taker will become a giver. Because God is a giver. And if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a different attitude of mind, and your wanter is going to change. And the core of your being will change from having what I call the evil core to the core of truth. You will have truth at the core of your being. Okay, and God's keeping is continuous and unbroken. That's Isaiah 27, verse 3, and Philippians 2, verse 13. God's keeping is continuous and unbroken. We are kept by the power of God through faith. We don't have this faith when we fear. It's either you're going to have fear or you're going to have faith. We don't have faith when we feel strong in ourselves. I am strong. No, our strength comes from the Lord. We are strong in the Lord. It's His strength. We may be very weak, and God be strong. That's Paul talks about it. We don't have faith when we are puffed up in pride. We have faith when we recognize that Jesus must carry us. He has to carry us. He will carry us. Even the faith of Jesus and not our own faith. Oh, that, until you catch on to that, that's not very popular at all anywhere I've noticed. I have faith. You telling me I don't have faith? I have no sin. I have faith. Okay then, I guess Jesus doesn't need to carry you. The faith of Jesus. He had a belief system. He had a faith. What is it? We're learning that on Wednesday night. This is what reliance upon Christ truly is. The faith of Jesus, let's read two scriptures. Acts 3, verse 16.
Oh, that's on my paper.
Okay, you get that then. Romans 9, verse 32.
I got it.
Okay. And then you take... Marcy, you take Romans 12, no, I was wrong, forget that. Romans 16, verse 26, and then we'll just use, oh my goodness, there's so many here to choose from. Oh boy. Well, Wanda, you take 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. I'll list the scriptures, but too many. Okay, Acts. The faith of Jesus, Acts 3, verse 16.
Okay, I'm going to read 12 and then go to 16.
Okay.
So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? And his name, through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all."
Okay, and another version is going to say, "in the faith of Jesus."
And that's why I said him, it's capital
right,
H.
Right. So, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It comes from him. It's his faith. It's middle voice. It comes from him. It moves out into us. And that's the through him part. And it goes and comes back to him, back to Jesus. He's the finisher. He's the one. And he's the one who finishes it. Okay. Romans 9, verse 32.
Romans 31.
Okay.
But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law.
Okay. So Christ, the stumbling stone and rock of offense. Let's read Romans 16, verse 26.
But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Oh, and also the next verse is on the stumbling stone. I just didn't read it, but I thought about it. I was reading it. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.
Okay. Romans 16:26. Oh, no, we did that. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5.
That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Faith in the power of God. Okay, so faith is an obedience, and we are to have faith in the power of God. And other references are 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 14, Galatians 2, verse 16 and 20, Galatians 3, verse 22, Ephesians 3, verse 12, Colossians 2, verse 12, Philippians 3, verse 9, talking about righteousness through the faith of Christ. Righteousness through the faith of Christ. Colossians 2, verse 12. James 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Oh, my goodness. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Okay. So, this faith obtained, and this faith we obtained as a gift. And that is the kind of faith that overcomes the world. 1 John 5, 4. Revelation 2, verse 13. Revelation 14, verse 12. Our patience is to keep the faith of Jesus, which is also the faith through Jesus, through his faithfulness. We can have, these are just some things, we can have no faith, little faith, great faith, faith as a grain of mustard seed, faith to be healed, temporal faith. We can be weak in faith, or strong in faith, or have a measure of faith, or vain faith, meaning empty of power, or even all faith. We can continue in faith, or depart from the faith, or wander off from the faith. We can keep the faith and fight the good fight of faith. We can follow the faith of others, ask in faith, and be rich in faith. But when we move to the faith of Jesus, we are saying that in matters of faith, ours just ran out the bottom of our feet. We are helpless in this faith thing and need the faith of Jesus by the Spirit of faith. Do you know that the name of one of the names of the Holy Spirit is Spirit of Faith? To walk in faith, to have faith in God, to be faithful, etc. Because God is full of faith, God is faithful, and he will bring it to pass. The one who called you is faithful, full of faith, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. The Lord is faithful who shall establish you, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. God comes up with faithful words, faithful words. Let's read 1 Timothy 1, verse 15.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Aha. Ah. And then 1 Timothy 4, verse 9.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance.
Go on.
For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe.
Okay, and here's some other reference. 2 Timothy 2, okay, read 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13.
Timothy 2, chapter 2, 11 to 15?
13, 11 to 13.
Okay, sorry. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself.
Okay, he remains faithful, so remember that. When our faith goes, when everything just runs out the bottom of our feet, that is not the time to go out and try to tell all the people, because they come up to you, where's your faith? Where's your faith? I've heard it. Where is your faith? Well, mine ran out. But I know this. I know what Jesus believes. He believes that all that the Father has given him, of all that the Father that has given him, he will lose none. And I know he's the author and finisher of my faith. And he is full of faith. And he's not going to deny himself. And he's going to, I am kept by the power of God.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Okay. Goodness, where am I? Jesus is the faithful high priest. His words are faithful and true. He is the faithful witness, the Amen. We declare God's faithfulness. We must trust it. That is faith. We must trust God's faithfulness. Not how much we can muster up, mustering up the faith to believe this or that. That's how Christians kind of start out in the Christian faith, of really mustering up the faith. Even though they just experienced something very supernatural, being, you know, redeemed by the blood of Christ and becoming a true believer. And they think back and they realize, what did they have to do with it? I mean, really? All right. When we can trust God's faithfulness, that he is full of faith, then we rest. We can believe the word. We can believe Jesus. Because Jesus is full of faith and is the faithful witness, the faithful Amen. It's not just believing in Jesus. Oh, I believe in Jesus. You know, I've always believed. All right, well, how much do you believe Jesus? And then, you know, you can pick some things that Jesus believed. Because a lot of times when Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you, you know, unless you are born again, right? You're not even going to enter the kingdom of God. Do you believe Jesus? You believe that? Can you believe Jesus? Well, that doesn't seem right to me. That's not very tolerant. What is that about? I mean, Nicodemus didn't like it. Why should I? You know, stuff like that. And it gets harder. There are hard sayings in the scripture. Do you believe Jesus? Oh my goodness.
Might take some effort on the hard one.
Yeah, it does.
Not effort, but
no, we then that's well, but that's where we have to believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Every believer, I believe, will have that moment in their Christian life.
Maybe more than once.
Maybe more than once. Do you trust that I am faithful now? Do you trust that I am faithful now? All right. Jesus moved from knowing the Father. Jesus believed the Father because of the Father's faithfulness. Jesus knew. Now see, it wasn't a hope so with Jesus. It wasn't even a hope against hope like Abraham believing the promise. Because Jesus knew, and Jesus knows. For Jesus, it's a knowing. He knows it. When Jesus made statements about what he believed, they were based on fact, what he knew to be true. When it hits us that God cannot fail, whatever is wrought, then it hits us that God cannot fail. Whatever is wrought from the thought and intent of God's holy heart, whatever has its seed, root, and fruit from God, the living God, cannot fail. That is the definition of a good work, because it didn't come from us. Well, all these things look good. We're out there doing a lot of things, and they look good, and yes, and they benefit. But the good work is a work wrought in God, okay? And that is coming from God's, the thought and intent of God's holy heart, the seed, root, and fruit from God, the living God, and it cannot fail because it comes right from God. We don't have to muster something up inside of us. We rest in the truth in who Jesus is. That's why it's good to study the attributes of God. Because Jesus is God, and you study his attributes, and there's a lot of good books on the attributes of God. Knowing God by J.I. Packer is good. I think R.A. Torrey or somebody wrote a really good book on called The Attributes of God.
Stephen Charnock has one called The Attributes of God.
Okay.
It's very deep.
All right.
Stephen Charnock. It's 1800s.
Yeah, and
you did an excellent Bible study on Let God Speak for Himself on the attributes.
Yeah, I renamed that, but I forget what I called it now. But it started out as Let God Speak for Himself. Yes, on the attributes.
And snapshots of the glory.
Yeah. Oh, snapshots of the glory.
Yeah, you upgraded it.
Yeah, snapshots of the glory. It's on mcmtffr.org, probably the teaching.
And on the website.
And and on the website.
Oh, it's not the whole, not the actual book, but the title and the outline of the book, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Mary. In the classes, the Friday night lectures are on
mcmtffr.org. Yeah. Okay, well, people talk about the trust of dependence, but this is beyond God, I need you, and I depend on you, and that kind of vein thinking. I'm not vain, but that.
Within that vein
of thinking. This is deep restfulness. It comes from knowing God, from knowing Jesus who saved us, from knowing the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, is the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father. Okay. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of faith, and He produces in us faithfulness as a fruit of that relationship. He produces in us the faith whose source is Jesus, so that it's a living faith. This sounds like absolute surrender, but it is not a work of the flesh. So you could say, oh God, you know, I surrender, and it's going to sound so holy and oh my goodness, and very pious. Now, this is a work of the Holy Spirit, not a work of the flesh. It is something produced by revelation of Jesus Christ. It comes by revelation, from hearing the word. It comes when we get it. Like you were talking earlier about this man from Japan, and after years of sitting, and all of a sudden, he got it. And he received Jesus. He got it. He got the revelation. It's revealed truth. God opens our minds to comprehend and our hearts to receive. It comes when we say, God is faithful, and He also will do it. He will do all His good pleasure. He will do all His good pleasure. Wait, what happened to me in that? No?
I
He does, huh?
There's no good there.
No, nothing good there.
What part of this?
Yeah.
It's the problem.
Yeah, there's a lot of Christians who don't think of the verse, he will do all my good pleasure. That's what they're looking for.
But since there's no good, then maybe
well, they
right,
focus on other things. They like the verse, God will give you the desires of your heart.
Oh, right.
Sure, when your That's desires right. are his desires.
If there was any good, maybe so. But
his word will not return unto him void, empty of power. He will complete what he starts. Okay, so it's not about us. Oh. Let's all. You 30 seconds for a pity party.
All
right, that's it. It's about him. The whole thing is about him. All right, and with that, we're gonna stop there for now. And next time we're going to. We're going to explore someone else's writing. Letters on Spiritual Virtues. Okay. That follow up on what we've been talking about today, but that'll be next week. Okay. And we all said,
Amen.